not every person you see on the street has that they deserve to be their story.
Yeah.
And it's hard to not go there. And I don't think people are being bad in thinking that. I think a lot of that comes from fear because it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, like I know myself when my kids were little, if we were walking and there was like homeless individuals on the street and they're, you know, asking, I would pull them closer to me because I felt uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I didn't want them to feel uncomfortable. Yet now looking back, it's like, well, that action by me is probably further, like, you know,
yeah, infusing that, that, oh, like, yeah,
scared. I think the biggest thing is that just take a moment to pause and remind yourself that you don't know their story.
We believe that you are strong by design, and you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one Strength and Health Authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode.
Hey, what's going on? This is another episode of the Strong by Design podcast. My name is Jared Haley. It is so good to have you guys with us today. If you have the opportunity to give us a good rating or a comment, we always love to hear from you. And we're just, I have a really cool show for you guys today. We have our very own Tanya Fiennes with us, which, you know her, we know her. She's amazing. And Tanya is a holistic practitioner and brings a lot of value to the Strong by Design podcast. But today she gets to be the guest, which I don't know. Are you? How long ago has it been since you've been a guest on the show?
It's been a couple years.
Yeah.
It's been a couple years, so it's kind of. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. Being on this side of the microphone.
Yeah, yeah. It's fine. You get to come and not have to think. Just share the stuff that you know, right? Well, Tanya. Beyond all of the things that she's already doing, she also wrote a book called The Faces of Homelessness, a Tampa Bay story. I'm really looking forward to just hearing a little bit more behind the inspiration behind why you wanted to write this book in the first place. You know, what is in it? What do you hope to accomplish with it? And we'll kind of go through a lot of that stuff throughout. But homelessness is a big deal, not just in the Tampa Bay area.
Right.
I came from Denver, Colorado, and it's becoming more and more of an issue there as well. It depends on your perspective of issue, right?
Right.
We'll talk about that probably some today, but I'm obviously in California. I know that there's people that are actually moving out of California because of the fear of that homelessness culture and things along those lines. And so I'm really interested to hear your perspective here, all about why you decided to write this book. And really, for me, it's always one of those things where I'm thinking, well, what do I do with this information, right? Like, we can talk about it all day long, but what do you do? And I know for instance, we've all driven down the road, right? And we've all seen that guy on the side of the road. He's holding the sign, and we start to have our own judgments or our, whatever. We react to it in one way or another.
Right.
My wife, who she's very sensitive to others' emotions. She's sensitive to what's going on. She's very prayerful about it too, but she's always ready to give right to the person. And there's good and there's bad in that, right?
Yeah.
And so, again, I'm going to let you be the expert on all of this. I'm just kind of bringing up all of the emotions that come with it. I know me personally, I'm always like, is that hurting more than it's helping? There's a good book out there, When Helping Hurts.
Yes.
It's not speaking specifically, I think, to homelessness, but it is speaking to,
enabling
people in other countries and things along those lines. So maybe I'll just kick it off to you, and I'll just open it up to what's the inspiration behind The Faces of Homelessness, and I'll let you kick it off. So this is what it looks like in case you guys are, we'll make sure to link it below so that you guys can make sure to get your copy.
Great. Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
The reason, I guess it's something since I was very young, just always was in my mind, like these questions and the fears with, when you are walking down the street or you're sitting at a light or a stop sign and someone that is homeless is approaching your car or approaching you to ask for something, wanting something. you know, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's awkward. And since I was very small or quite young anyways, I used to think like that was somebody's little boy or little girl. Like that was a baby
yes.
that was born.
I've had that same thought.
Came home from the hospital with someone. And what happened? What happened from there to now? Like, what's the story? How did they end up here? And there's a lot of stories. And not all, you know, there are some very sad, tragic stories. And there are some stories that the choices got them there. So it's a big pot of stuff and stories. And what I really
it's not just black and white.
It's not just easily black and white. It's very easy to look at that and just visually go, well, and make a very quick judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you kind of do some digging, there can be a lot more to it. Sometimes there isn't, but a lot of times there's a lot more to it. Even for those that, you know, we say have earned their spot on the street, there's still something there. Nobody really wakes up and goes, I'm gonna try living on the street. That sounds like fun.
Sounds great.
Right? Cold, wet, hungry, not knowing where your next meal is going to come
Sleeping
from.
Sleeping on the ground.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, and just the danger of that.
Sure.
What that puts you in. But what the goal with the book when I wrote it was I wanted it to be something very short. I wanted it to be something very visual because images do impact us in a lot of ways, positive, negative, all of it. I wanted it to impact, and I wanted it to just sit on people's coffee tables to maybe start a conversation to how can we maybe change some of those stigmas that are really so tightly bound to homelessness when we see it, when we hear about it, because I don't believe that everybody thinks these are bad people, they've done bad things, but I think it's very easy to brush it off as well, you know,
because
you feel uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable classic.
Yeah. Know? It's like you don't know the appropriate way to respond.
Exactly.
And that uncomfortableness can drive. And I've actually had thoughts too of this is a very depressing kind of thought, but I think how far away am I from being in that same position? Like, you know, if who knows what could happen with a job or whatever. And I'm not saying like I do anything in particular that's like immoral or something like that. I'm just saying situations can change, you know, and as as the cost of things are rising and we're trying to figure out how to make ends meet and all of those things that I think so many of us are wrestling with right now in our current economy. And I think how far away am I from, you know, especially when you see like a family on the street, like there's been some times that I know Christiana and the kids and I'll come out and even like outside of like a Target, and there's like a family out there and sometimes they're just sitting there. Sometimes they're like playing music, you know? And I think that's a big one for Christiana's always like giving the kids money to go, you know, because it's like, at least you're trying to do something, you know, you're kind of busking on the road or whatever, as opposed to just sitting there with a sign. But at the same time, like you mentioned, you never know.
You never know. And it's difficult because even, you know, when I went to do the book, because I have been going around and like taking pictures with my phone. It's just my iPhone taking pictures because it really, I knew I wanted to do something with it. I just wasn't.
Is that weird?
You know what? I live in Ybor City.
Okay.
So it's, and I live like right in Ybor City. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of it around me, like on the sidewalk out front of my house. Mm-hmm. I can't go anywhere in any direction for half a block that there are not people either sleeping on the street or there's a lot of homelessness.
Yeah.
So I had it when I moved into Ybor. I guess I've been down in South Tampa now 2 years. When I came into that area, it was so in my face every day that it didn't. I wasn't like going up and saying like, I'm going to take your picture. It was just very casual, like walking by and just snapping pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, the visual is so strong. Mm-hmm. It's so strong. And I knew I wanted to do something. I do a lot of volunteer work. And I wanted to do something with those pictures to somehow get people talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get talking about it. Because to your point, how far away from that are you? And, you know, to use myself as an example, I'm from Canada. Mm-hmm. So I grew up I grew up with the
just
luxury.
Just kidding. Totally teasing.
I grew up with the luxury of not having to work.
Hold on. Do you actually, something that you've eliminated from your vocabulary?
I think I'm getting better.
Okay.
Because it doesn't get pointed out to you as much anymore.
No. I caught your about there. But I don't normally. Like, I mean, you've been in a lot, and I've never heard you say A once. Right. So
yeah, and I was just home in Canada. Not that long.
Yeah, and it all comes flooding back. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Just go ahead.
So I grew up with the luxury of not having to worry about healthcare. If I needed to see a doctor, I could go see a doctor. If I was in a, you know, in a car accident, if I needed surgery.
That's a whole other podcast right there we can talk about. Yeah, I'm curious. Continue.
You got help. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it was like totally free, but it's not like here. Now here, I don't have health insurance because I can't afford it.
Right.
So how far am I from that situation? If something were to happen to me, mm-hmm. I'm right there.
Yeah.
Because now, that's medical bankruptcy. And actually, and the statistics, when you look at homelessness, like I spent months looking into the statistics. Mm-hmm. The thing with the statistics when it comes to homeless individuals is that it's their best estimate mm-hmm. because you don't really know. And that, like, you know, you mentioned families. There is a lot of families right now in Tampa Bay that are currently homeless, living in cars, and these are both parents are working, mm-hmm. you know, kids are going to school. But they're living in a car because they can't afford the rent. They can't, they can't afford all of it. But they are scared to reach out for help because they don't want to lose their children. These aren't bad parents. These aren't neglectful parents. But you know, they're being very private and hiding mm-hmm. with the fear that if they do go somewhere and ask for help or try to get resources, that you know, social services will come in and they're afraid they're going to lose their kids. So when looking at statistics, it's a little difficult to get exact,
mm-hmm.
But there is a certain percentage of these people on the street that are there because of medical bankruptcy, or we have veterans who have, you know, PTSD, they have, you know, mental health issues or other medical issues, and mm-hmm. this is where they are.
Sure. And then there's the reality, too, that there are those out there that are making bad choices, and you know, they it's like the one bad person kind of spoils it for everybody, you know, kind of idea. And I think that that's where some of the uncomfortableness comes from, is because when you're walking past someone on the street, you have no idea. You know, you don't know their story. And it's like, is it, especially if like I'm with my family, I'm not like, hey, let's see this person's story. You know, it's more like, hey, we got to make sure that we're okay, that we're safe, and we're getting where we need to get to.
Right. People, because it's not, that isn't a safe thing.
Right.
And that was one thing that friends and family were like, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why there's only one story in the book that I share. Mm-hmm. I changed the name, but there's one story in there because I wasn't going to walk up to people I didn't know living on the mm-hmm. street and say like, hey, you know. However, there are. What you said about, you know, you don't know when you see somebody, you don't know, are they there because they're just making a lot of bad choices and mm-hmm. by their own decisions,
right.
this is where they're at. Or right. are they somebody that they ended up there
because
life was handed them a really bad deal or whatever.
But yeah. And that makes it so difficult.
It does.
I mean, as just a person that, I mean, you want to help people, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you have the, you know, well, if you, I don't know, if you just get your act together, you know, it's just try harder. You know, there's so many things that we can say, and when you don't know the story, but then there are those people that are just not putting in the effort. And mm-hmm. so it's just such a mixed pot. And so it makes it very, very confusing very quickly, I think.
It really is. And I think unless you're one of these individuals that works in these, like we've got Metropolitan Ministries, Dawning Family Services, wonderful organization, and many more in Tampa. Unless you're working with them and actually you have that contact with people, mm-hmm. that's really the only way you know who is it that is really in need and just needs that support. Like, because sometimes somebody just needs some support and they mm-hmm. need to know that they will be able to get out of it. They need to see some kind of light.
Yes.
Okay, we can get you, you know, we can get you into affordable housing. Mm-hmm. Within 30 days. Now, here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
We can get you into affordable housing, but you also need to maintain this job at Walmart. You're mm-hmm. going to be working at Walmart. Like, you know, and these are the ones when these people are showing up and going, okay, we are seeing some success, but just to walk down the street, you don't know.
Yeah.
Now, living in Ybor, because I'm always walking around, I've gotten to, I'll say no, but I'm familiar with mm-hmm. a certain number of them.
Who's around?
Who's around? And mm-hmm. some of them I know their names. A lot of them I don't. And there are individuals that I don't usually give money because I usually don't walk around with money. Mm-hmm. It isn't where I live. I live in not a great neighborhood, so I don't usually walk around.
I mean, we don't usually have cash anyway either. So when Christiana pulls it out, I'm like, where is this cash coming from anyway?
But I will. I've often bought breakfast or bought a meal.
Yes.
And what's really great, like in Ybor, because it is fairly prevalent, because it's if you've ever been to Ybor, it's like a little tiny Bourbon Street mm-hmm. in the middle of Tampa. So it's a great place. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot going on. But the merchants and the cafe, like people that have the cafes and the restaurants, because they're aware of it, you know, the rules, I guess, or the deal is just like, I will go in and be like, you know, can I get grilled cheese and fries? Mm-hmm. And take it and sit outside, because usually there's anywhere there's tables out on the sidewalk and stuff. So there are a few that once in a while I'll do that with. And then there are others that I just have learned that you don't give money, you don't help. This is a very different
situation.
And just don't appreciate it.
I remember in college, there's a guy sitting out. We were on a soccer road trip, and there's a guy sitting out at McDonald's, and someone on the team like bought him food because he's sitting out there like asking for cash or whatever. And they brought him food, and he got mad.
Yeah.
And he was like, "I don't want this." And I was like, "Well, you know." And so I think some of those situations that we've had with people, I think, taint us.
Absolutely.
And so then we start painting the picture that everybody's that way.
Absolutely.
We'll talk, I think, a little bit later about, you know, what is my responsibility, or what is something practical that I can do that is actually going to help. I know you already mentioned it a little bit. Your book is mostly pictures.
Yes.
And so you said you're walking around, you're taking these pictures. But then I know that you, obviously, the visual is important to you, but you could have had like a section of pictures and then it's just been a written book. But really, most of the book is pictures.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit, why was that your approach? Is it just because you wanted the imagery out there?
I'm very visual, so that the images are what strike me, and the images are what make me want to ask more questions and mm-hmm. find out. So I just felt that was maybe the biggest impact. I wasn't really confident that people would want to read a book, like just like read a big book all about the, you know, there is, you can't, you know, when it comes to homelessness, there's all kinds of, there's fundraisers, we've got organizations, mm-hmm. there's food banks, there's all sorts of pockets all over Hillsborough County that alert you to the fact that this is a crisis, this is a situation, and you can help. And I think that's great. I wanted to put something in front of people that might make them go, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and so what can I do about this? Mm-hmm. What can I do about this? And then the one story that I included was because it's very much, it's not somebody that made bad choice. It's somebody that, it's a terribly sad story.
Mm-hmm.
How this person ended up there and what their life is looking like right now. But the pictures was easy. It was easy because I'm out in the community so much that mm-hmm. it was always there. And mm-hmm. I know how I was feeling. And I thought maybe if other people saw that, it might ignite those conversations mm-hmm. to change some of those stigmas. And people might say, okay, what can I actually do to get involved if I want to help in a way that might be more impactful?
Yeah. Yeah. So you're in Ybor.
Yes.
Do you feel like the homeless situation that you see around where you're living is the same as it is across the country? I mean, I know that in California, there's huge homeless population. There's people leaving the state because of the fear of almost that culture, that subculture that's being created of the homelessness subculture. I know that's happening where I came from in Denver, where there's just areas of like tents, and it's like these mm-hmm. tent communities of homeless people. And I know that there are some people that are choosing that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Like they're like, hey, I prefer this
no bills, no responsibility.
Exactly. And all of your stuff's right there, you know. Some people might call that minimalist living, right? I mean, it's not really, but you know what I'm saying?
No,
you could spin it that way. And so I'm just curious, do you see that? Do we see tent communities in the Tampa area? Is a tent community a positive thing, a negative thing? And what, I don't know, just help paint that picture a little bit.
Well, I have not seen tent communities in my area. Now, if they do exist in Hillsborough County, Tampa area, they might. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where those are. And I'm only making the comparison to what I have a daughter that lives in LA.
Okay.
So I've been to LA a couple times. And what I see there is very, like what I've seen in terms of the homelessness situation and in a lot of ways, the choice mm-hmm. to live that way, very different than what my experience is here in Hillsborough. But that's my experience. Mm-hmm. Somebody listening to this who lives in Hillsborough might be going, I got a tent community in my backyard.
Right.
I don't know that. I just know what I see day to day, what I've experienced when I go to California. And whether they're good or bad, man, that's a whole conversation that can spiderweb in multiple directions. I recently saw a news clip. Somebody sent it to me. Somebody that bought the book sent it to me. And I was just like my mouth open because they were interviewing people in a tent community somewhere in that LA area. And the interviewer was asking, you know, talking to them, like, what's it like to be homeless? Mm-hmm. And the ones that they spoke with, now granted, this is always edited for TV, right? Because you don't know. I don't know if they talked to
They're pitching their agenda.
And they picked the three that, mm-hmm. that answered the way they wanted to.
Right.
But the one or two people, it was a woman and a gentleman, and their response was, it's great. Mm-hmm. Somebody comes around in the morning, they give us money so we can get our coffee and breakfast. We just have to clean up our stuff, pack it, and we just go somewhere for the day, a park or something, hang out. We come back here, set up for the night. They liked it.
They're camping.
Camping. It was like camping.
In the city.
So, I mean, now, I don't know that woman's story. I don't know where she came from. Does mm-hmm. she have any education? Did she she graduate high school? Did mm-hmm. she go to college? Was she abused? Like, what makes somebody go, this is great? Mm-hmm. You know, I think we all need to, as a nation, take a look at the fact that with rising costs of everything, mm-hmm. it's getting very hard for people to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I did a podcast for the show, I interviewed Tammy from Donning Family Services. And when she was talking about families, two parents working, living in a car, I'm like, wow, that's something that really does need to be addressed.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I know, I mean, even just for us, like, I mean, Christiana's working part-time, but it's something she has to be working, right?
Yeah.
It's a completely different landscape than it was even 20 years ago. And I think, we need a little bit more space because we have our four kids, you know? So obviously, if you only need like a one-bedroom apartment or something because you're single, that cost is going to be a little bit less, but... Sometimes I think, man, I don't know how I would make it on my own, or if mm-hmm. if one of the spouses, you know, if they pass away or something like that, like,
or somebody gets sick.
Yeah, how do you make ends meet? You know, I just see that as being quickly more. It's a lot more challenging even now than it was, I would say, 5 years ago.
Right, and to that I would say to people listening that are wondering, I would again, because this is like when I was thinking of doing this, I asked myself the question, if I were to get sick where I actually needed medical attention, or if I was in a car accident, what would that do to my situation?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't be able to pay my rent anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have family and friends that people would not let me fall through the cracks.
Right.
But the reality is that I would lose where I'm living. Mm-hmm. I would not be able to live there. I don't have health insurance because that's too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you end up in a hospital and need medical care, you're going to have medical bills that you have to pay. Mm-hmm. At some point, they're just going to keep sending invoices and bills for the rest of your life. And then if you don't manage to pay those up until the time of your death, somebody else is going to, they're going to find somebody else in your family. So, you know, you owe this money.
Yeah. Then you're carrying that burden with you into everything that you do.
I would say to people, just ask yourself in your situation right now, whether you're married with children, single, whatever your current situation is, if you have a place to live and you have a vehicle, and have a job, if your life is normal, we'll say mm-hmm. normal, whatever that looks like, if something very big were to happen,
mm-hmm.
medical, an accident, a child getting ill, losing a spouse, how dramatically in today's day and age would mm-hmm. that change your situation? Mm-hmm. And could you continue to manage?
Right.
Just ask. And there's probably a lot of people that'd be like, yep, I could manage. I'd have to downsize. We'd probably get a smaller place. Mm-hmm. We'd be okay. Yeah. But there, I'm willing to bet that there's a percentage of our listeners going,
It'd be tough.
You know, you might have to live with mom and dad again, or you know, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we moved across the state, so it's like we don't have like the family support
system right there, mm-hmm.
and so it's different, you know. And that's not a good thing, or I mean, I'm saying it's not a good decision or bad decision, just what it is. But different people do different things, and that's just kind of. You know, so I think there's value there too. I just interject to make sure that no matter where you are, that you do have a community, that you're not trying to just be, you know, hey, we're us and we don't hang out with anybody else. You know, there's a lot of value in being a part of a good community, whether that's your neighborhood or a church or whatever that might look like. You know, I think that human beings, you know, Strong by Design is mind, body, spirit, right? And part of that is recognizing that, who we are as human beings, we were made for community, and so there's value in making sure that you're being intentional to build that community, so that when these things inevitably happen, because they happen all the time. I mean, we always think it won't happen to me until it does, right? Yeah. But then having a little bit more preparedness for that. So, I think that it's easy to be cynical and think, oh, well, no one would help us. But I think the reality is that people are ready to help.
I agree with you. I mean, I know the church that I go to, huge community support. And just with the work that I do, I mean, I work for myself. So I've gotten in the last 2 years to know an incredible amount of people in Tampa Bay. I've got some great, I have a very great support work, whether it's like in friendship community, business, but that there's people in my circle. So I think that's something, as individuals, it's important. Be a part of the community. Be one of those people that, and you might not be a super social person. That might not be your thing, mm-hmm. but there are communities there, mm-hmm. That if you just allow yourself to be a small part of them, even showing up to something once in a while, just, you know, showing up like, mm-hmm. hi, my name is Tanya, nice to meet you, mm-hmm. that these people will definitely do come together to help you, mm-hmm. because they come together in big ways to help people they don't know. Like, you know, again, going back to the church, there's constantly a fundraising or an event or a drive to raise funds for something. And mm-hmm. a lot of times it's for people we don't even know, but they're in need.
Right. Yeah. Is there anything, you probably have touched on this just a little bit though, when it comes to the homeless situation, is there any particular points that you would like to debunk as, hey, this is misinformation?
Right. I think the big one is that not every person you see on the street has that they deserve to be their story.
Yeah.
And it's hard to not go there. And I don't think people are being bad in thinking that. I think a lot of that comes from fear, mm-hmm. because it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, like I know myself when my kids were little, if we were walking and there was like some like homeless individuals on the street and they're, you know, asking, I would pull them closer to me because I felt uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I didn't want them to feel uncomfortable. Yet now looking back, it's like, well, that action by me is probably mm-hmm. further, like, you know,
infusing that.
Oh, like, I'm scared. But that's like, your kids, you try to protect them from everything.
Sure.
You know, but I think the biggest thing is that just know or take a moment to pause and remind yourself that mm-hmm. you don't know their story.
Right.
And even somebody sitting on the street talking to themselves, what if it's schizophrenia? Yeah. That's, you know, schizophrenia is one of the, like, it's incredibly expensive to treat. Mm-hmm. So if you're working part-time somewhere, like, I know, part-time at Starbucks or part-time in an office, mm-hmm. If you're the evening custodian, that's where do you come up with the money to treat your schizophrenia, to get the treatment, to get the drugs, to do the follow-up? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have it, you don't have it. And so you end up, you could very well end up whether institutionalized or in some kind of group home, mm-hmm. or on the street looking like someone who's made really bad decisions, strung out on drugs. Like, not everybody's a drug addict. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. That does exist. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a part of the homeless situation, but it's not 100% of the situation.
I think there's a fear too, if we're tapping into the fear that I don't want to be manipulated or taken advantage of. Exactly. And so when you have someone that, you know, I mean, and then you have the people out there that's like, be honest, I just want to buy a beer, right? Whatever.
Yeah, and I'm I've had that sign.
And I'm like,
I'm not going to lie, I just need a beer.
Yeah, I'm like,
well, I applaud the honesty.
Sure.
But I'm not gonna
I don't even know that I applaud the honesty. So I'm like, just like, whatever.
I'll buy you dinner.
Yeah.
I'll buy you a sandwich, but I'm not going to give you money for alcohol.
Yeah. So I think that that's part of, at least for me, the fear of, I don't want to be manipulated, and the fear of, I don't really know what you're going to do with it. Again, Christiane and I have had this conversation a lot. And I mean, as with anything, we're trying to teach this to our kids. You know, we want to approach everything that we do and say, you know, from a Christian perspective, we're like, Jesus, what should I do in this situation?
Yeah.
Right? Because the Bible is not sitting there. I mean, it does say to take care of the homeless and things along those lines. It doesn't say specifically how to do that. And with every situation being different, I think that having a discerning spirit and saying, recognizing, hey, God knows this person and I don't. And so I can actually be prayerful about that. And I can say, God, how do you want me to approach this in this particular moment? Again, we're trying to teach that to our kids. Christiana's really good at that because, again, my initial reaction is I don't want to give them something and then make the problem worse. You know, that's always my thought. And Christiana's response to that to me is always, if God asks you to do it, it's not on you what they do with that money.
True.
You know, that's you being obedient to what God's asking you to do.
Right.
And then they have to then be obedient on their end. Mm-hmm. Like, it's no longer my responsibility. So, again, at the same time, if God is telling you, don't give them money, it's going to hurt them, you got to be able to listen to that as well. So, anyway, there's... That's just a convoluted way to say it's hard to discern.
It's very hard to discern.
I think what you're saying is you can't just blanket everybody as being the same.
You can't. I mean, as hard as it is, you can't. And I don't know. I mean, my perspective might. I always, like I said, since I was young, I always thought, well, that was somebody's baby. So what happened?
Yes.
But getting older, I don't know what my, you know, I can't honestly say would my perspective or would my. Where my heart is for this cause, mm-hmm. would it be where it is today if I didn't end up living where I'm living right now? Because mm-hmm. like I said, it's there every, like I can't, like can't walk in any direction without it being there. And I've had the privilege of being able to, you know, in walking and being involved in the community, being out there on foot to get an idea, get to know, I'll say know, loosely know some of them mm-hmm. because they're the regulars. They're mm-hmm. that's their home. You know, this block is their home. That I've come to know that some of them, this is a really tragic story.
Yeah,
it's very tragic. And so those are the ones that, on a day when it's okay to approach them, because it isn't always.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, but I've learned that because mm-hmm. I'm there. I certainly don't recommend if you decide to come to Tampa for the weekend and you're walking and you see somebody on the street, you want to walk up and say, hey, can I get you something to eat? I don't necessarily recommend doing that. Mm-hmm. I certainly didn't do it the first time. I'm still very cautious when I approach somebody, especially if they're new.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had 2 years in and around these people.
Sure.
To be like, you know, hey,
yeah.
You know, you've been here you've been here all week, sleeping in the doorway. Would you like something to eat?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, yes.
Yeah.
Or no, or just kind of looking at you like that. You know, I've had that experience.
Yeah. I wonder if it's something too that as you do it more becomes a little bit more comfortable maybe.
Yeah. And again.
In a good and bad way possibly.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I caution that because one of the things that I like to do is my favorite, everybody loves Christmas. My favorite meal holiday of the year is Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the way y'all do it down here in the States, because like in Canada, it was always a big deal. I had the big house and had the, you know, I cooked for 3 days and all the family came over.
Yeah.
I love it. My favorite meal is one mm-hmm. meal that I'm like, I don't care how sick I'm eating all the stuff.
Yes.
Now, when I came to the U.S., I was like, man, they really know how to do Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's such a big thing here.
Yeah. So it's different here. So you did do that in Canada?
No, we did. I made a big deal of the meal, but it's like you guys make.
But people in Canada didn't.
No, they do. Like in Canada, it's a big meal of it. Like Thanksgiving is a recognized holiday.
Okay.
Just you guys really amp it up down here.
Gotcha.
It's like Thanksgiving on steroids.
Gotcha.
Right? It's like a whole weekend event. There's football. There's all kinds of stuff going on. We all get the family together, have a really nice meal,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
But when I came to the U.S., I'm like, wow, okay, I love this. So now I'm making the big meal, but now it's like it's like a whole weekend event, and my three kids are all grown, so I don't always have them for the holidays, but I still make way more food than I need, because one of my things is I like to do up the little, I'll go to the dollar store and get a bunch of little Tupperware dishes,
mm-hmm.
and I put together Thanksgiving meals, and then I'll go and hand them out.
Yep.
Now, I've got people in my life that are not happy that I do that, mm-hmm. Because they're like, and I think, I do remind myself to be a little careful, because I'll give a Thanksgiving meal to anybody. Mm-hmm. And I have to remind myself, because I've been here as long as I have and I've gotten comfortable in mm-hmm. that environment, I still need to be smart.
Sure.
Because it isn't always safe.
Sure. Is it something that you could bring people with you to do that so that you're not alone?
Yeah, I could.
I'm just throwing it out there. I bet you could find a couple of people that would be happy to tag along for a day.
Yeah.
As a precautionary. I would give you a little bit of advice on that, I guess.
Yeah.
And I know, so that's a way that you have approached that. Are there other practical things that people can be doing to be able to say, man, I see it, I don't know what to do? Tanya's got an answer for me.
Right. Okay. Well, there's a couple things you can do. If it is a cause that you feel called to help in some way, my number one suggestion is, go get on the internet and find what groups are in your area. Like Tampa, Hillsborough County has, like I said, there's quite a few. There's Metropolitan Ministries. There's Dawning Family Services. We have the Trinity Cafe, always looking mm-hmm. for volunteers. There's a lot of different ways you can get involved. Now, it doesn't mean you have to, some people say, well, I'm trying to feed myself. I don't have money. Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to give money, you can give money. Everybody's always open to donation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing good things with it. You can check on the internet. Like I've mentioned some in the book, I've mentioned ones that I are familiar with, that I know the money's going to good use. It's not going to pay salaries of people on a board, mm-hmm. where it's actually going into the cause.
Yeah.
There's also your time. Volunteering at the Trinity Cafe or another, we grew up calling them soup kitchens, but yeah. Go to these kitchens. They're always looking for volunteers, especially around the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. So you can get involved really going to these organizations and saying, what do you need? Maybe mm-hmm. it's clothing. I'm going to Dawning Family Services in about a week or so. I've got bags of, when you travel, if you travel a lot and you get the little soaps and the shampoos and the toothpaste and all that stuff at hotels and things like that.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of them, and a friend of mine, a very good mm-hmm. friend of mine who's a travel agent of sorts, she came over one day, she's got bags of this stuff. She goes, can you use this? I'm mm-hmm. like, I know exactly what to do with mm-hmm. this. So clothing, donations of items, specifically hygienic items, mm-hmm. soap, shampoos, things mm-hmm. like that. And just call them and say, look, I'm interested in helping. How can I best support your organization right now? Because sometimes they don't need as much clothes as they need something else. Mm-hmm. But they don't, it goes in waves.
Right, right. I think there's value too in researching and finding organizations that are not just helping provide the immediate needs, but also helping with the long-term
needs. Support, yeah.
And what that looks like. And I think that there are people that have been trained and they're professionals and they're in it and they have a better system. And if there's ways that we can support those organizations.
Absolutely. And I know Dawning is really good at that. They're one of the groups that, and I keep mentioning them because they're fresh on my mind, but they're one of the groups that do that. They have almost a tiered system of needs. So whether it's, if it's a family crisis, need to get them into affordable housing.
Yep.
And then is there, does somebody need a job? So they've got all kinds of connections and affiliations. They provide, training support. They'll help. Because the goal, that's the thing, their goal is to get you so that you are able to sustain life without that. It's to get you so that you're good.
Yeah.
You can manage things, without the constant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, and that's hard because, our system is set up almost for you to fail.
It is.
It
always really is.
And so you become dependent on whatever it is that you're getting, and then it's like you don't know how to live without that dependency. And so... I really, really appreciate what you're doing and helping to bring that awareness and pushing. I was going to mention, we as a company, Critical Bench, every year donate a lot of time and some money to Hope House.
Yes.
Love and so I'm just thinking about these families that are living out of their car. Like, you know, if you know families that are in this situation, or if you are a person that is in this situation, there are organizations like Hope House, where Hope House is a place that actually comes alongside parents and helps them get back on their feet. And they actually take your kids for, I think it's like a year, but it's not like the government coming and taking right. your kids away. It's something that it's an agreed upon thing where they're like, hey,
schooling.
Yeah, they have a school. They have a great campus. They have you know, great living situation, and it's a place where
structure
and parents can figure stuff out, yeah. and then bring their kids back into a healthy situation. So I know that there's lots of places like that out there as well.
There is. Most communities, most cities in your state, wherever you are, have them. We have several in Tampa, mm-hmm. Hillsborough County, in Pinellas County, Pasco County. We have a lot. Again, I'm going to bring up Dawning. They're doing a great job.
They seem to be your favorite.
Yeah, it's funny. Tam and I were both at an expo last night. They had mm-hmm. a table there to promote what they're doing.
Yep.
And how they're helping. So there's definitely great ways to become involved. And to support those, you know, even like something like Dress for Success. Mm-hmm. Whenever I go, every 6 months when I go through my closet, I take my nicer clothing mm-hmm. and I take it to Dress for Success, because their goal there is to people that are, you know, needing some help.
Yep.
They're going to be going on job interviews and they need some nicer clothing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of ways that if you just look around your own home, there's ways you can help without putting yourself in a situation.
Right.
Kind of like I've done. Yeah. But my situation is different because I'm right there.
Yeah.
So it was just it was on my doorstep.
Right.
For 2 years.
Right. Either engage or you ignore and keep walking.
Right. Right. So it's finding those ways to do that are impactful.
No, that's great. If someone wants to get your book, is it?
Amazon.
Amazon's the way to go.
Amazon's the way to go.
All right. Well, we will be sure to link that in the link below. So The Faces of Homeless, a Tampa Bay Story, a book by Tanya Fiennes. And so, Tanya, so good to have you, on the show as always. It's probably fun to be maybe on the guest spot instead of the host spot. It's a little different maybe, you know. But really appreciate you being here. It's so fun to have you here, and really thank you for bringing in maybe a different light or a different perspective as to what's going on with the homeless situation here in Tampa, across the country. There are things that we can be doing. Certainly be praying for these people, praying for the people who are working in these ministries, mm-hmm. that they would have the wisdom to do the right thing with these people too, and that the people would get the actual help that they need. So that they can, get out of that situation. So, so good. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. We release a new episode every single Wednesday. You'll hear another one next week. But we appreciate you listening. If you are impacted by this in any way, I encourage you to share it with a friend. Let others, listeners, know what's going on so that we can tackle these issues together. We want you to be strong by design, both in body, mind, and spirit. And so, we believe that you were created that way. You were designed to be that way. That's not just for our listeners. That's for everybody. And so, again, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on the next one.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.